prophecy of Joel, chapter 3. And this evening we shall read the first 8 verses. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah, and the children of Jerusalem, have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. May he richly bless to us that reading from Holy Scripture. In our last study, we were considering the first part of verse 2 of this chapter, and a kindred scripture in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. Jehoshaphat, which means the Lord will judge. The solemn scenes of the last great judgment day. We spoke of the link between the saints of all ages meeting the Lord in the air, being instantly changed like unto him, thus to appear with him as he comes in the clouds to judge. The great white throne being set up, and all men of all nations of all time miraculously assembled in one vast arena, the very great valley of which Zechariah speaks, the very great valley, the day of final judgment. And I endeavored to point out both the folly and the error of dispensationalism and its complicated prophetic theory. The last trump, as referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that glorious resurrection chapter, is the last trump. It is the conclusive word to Adam's race. And by its clarion call, all God's chosen and redeemed people of all time will put on immortality. And simultaneously, will all unregenerate of all ages be called to judgment, sentenced, and cast forever into outer darkness. The very planet will cleave asunder, dissolve, and melt with fervent heat as death and hell sinks into the abyss of the lake of fire. However, we must not race on to the conclusion just yet, for there is more detail in Joel chapter 3 and verse 2, which must be drawn out. I read the verse again. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Last week we dealt particularly with the first half. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And then the verse goes on to say, and will plead with them there. That is the nations. I will plead with them there. I will plead. Now the dictionary definition of the word plead is to argue for or against, to allege in argument in a court of law, to speak in defense of a claim or in support of a claim. You see, a barrister is employed to plead for a person. And this is often the meaning of the word plead in Scripture. However, it is not so here in Joel. The Hebrew word lying beneath the word plead in this case is shofat, and its meaning is to judge, to avenge, to vindicate, to punish. This word shofat is found 6 times only in the Old Testament, and each time is it translated plead in our Authorized Version. And let me bring to you these 6 instances, and then you will see the force and the true sense of that which is being conveyed to us. First of all, in the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 17, Ezekiel 17 and verse 20. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass, that he hath trespassed against me. Chapter 20 of the same book, and verse 35. Ezekiel 20, verse 35. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and will bring you into the bond of the covenant. The penal clause of the covenant. Ezekiel 38 and verse 22. Ezekiel 38 verse 22. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, that I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah 25 and verse 31. Jeremiah 25:31. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations, and he will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. And finally to Isaiah 66 and verse 16. Isaiah 66 and verse 16. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. By his sword and by fire will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouth and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. The six instances in which this Hebrew word is found in the Old Testament and translated plead. And it is abundantly clear from these scriptures that the meaning is God judging, avenging, vindicating his law and his claims as he gathers all nations and all tongues. For he knows their works, says Isaiah, and he knows their thoughts. All the reprobate are to see his glory. Every knee will bow before him in that day when the last trump is sounded. That final bugle call to Adam's race, it will bring the dust and ashes of all ages together in resurrection power. Both the just and the unjust, as we saw last week. All the redeemed will instantly be fashioned like unto Christ and will appear with him in glory in the air with all his holy angels, says the scriptures. The reprobate also of all time will in a miraculous way, by an act of deity, all likewise be raised and ushered into that vast arena, the greatest assembling of the race, indeed the greatest assembling which the race has ever known, for it takes in every man from Cain to the end of time who is not amongst God's elect. Such a thing cannot be conceived. It's the great Jehoshaphat. An exceeding great valley, says Zechariah. Yes, the Lord will judge, is the meaning. The great judgment of the final day, when by fire and with sword, the Lord will plead or judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord will be many. They shall be consumed together. These are the solemn words of Isaiah 66, verses 16 to 18, which I've just read to you. This word plead, as it comes before us in this sense, is a terrifying word. It is little wonder that in other scriptures the Holy Spirit speaks of it as the great and terrible day of the Lord. So our minds go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, do they not, in verse 12? For this is a kindred scripture. This further elucidates that which one is bringing before you. Revelation 20 in verse 12. John had a preview of this. It was as a motion picture before his eyes, with a running commentary being given. He says, I saw the dead, small and great, the great Jehoshaphat, that exceeding great valley. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The books were opened. What are these? Are we to imagine that in the eternal world there is a gigantic strong room, rows upon rows upon rows of ledgers, in which is recorded every thought and every action of every unbeliever's life, from Cain to the last born? Are we to imagine, I say, that everything is recorded in ledgers, which one day will be taken from those shelves and brought out and read? No. We must ever look upon the book of the Revelation as a book of symbolism. What weird and wonderful interpretations has been put upon this book by taking it all as being literal. I believe that these books are the minds of the people themselves. Now, is it not a fact that every happening in life is recorded in the mind? Now, true, 95% of it, or even more, may be forgotten. Nevertheless, it's there. Do we not all find ourselves on times suddenly remembering something which was said perhaps 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Could be more. Whatever made me think of that, we say. Childhood happenings, long since forgotten, can come to us in vivid reality. This is nothing more than the book of the mind being opened up. And in that great day, all the thoughts, words, and deeds of life, which, as they happened, pass through the mind, they'll be brought to life. And the whole picture of every day of every man's life will stand out in absolute clarity. Yes, the books will be opened. And there will be the complete record. And the scripture says, every mouth will be stopped. Man's own mind and memory will witness against him as the book of his mind opens up and reveals it all. His own conscience will then convict him. His own reason will condemn him. For a sinner to really see himself as he is in Adam, and to have the whole of his life revealed, is for him to condemn himself. And such will be the revelation which God will give to every reprobate child of Adam. The book will be opened. I say again, as I said last week, none will question in that day. None will argue. for all will see that they are without excuse. All will acknowledge that holy and just are all God's ways, and that in absolute righteousness and rectitude doth he judge. But there is another book at that greater size. It is the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether or not this is a literal book, I'm not prepared to say. But here is the record of the names of all those who figured in the everlasting covenant. And we are told that their names were written in that book before the foundation of the world. Their names, through sovereign grace, have been written in heaven. They have been delivered. Those whose names recorded there, they have been delivered from wrath to come. They have been saved from wrath through him, justified by his blood, and reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Such is the clear statement of Romans 5. Verses 9 and 10. They are his people. They are with Christ in glorified bodies in the air. Bodies which have been made celestial. That is, fitted to dwell in space, as well as upon the terrestrial. His people are with him in glorified bodies in the air. They sit with him and with his holy angels on that great day. We saw last week that he has set them on his right hand. They are his sheep. The goats are on the other. But these two that are on his right hand, they were sinners. Oh yes, they were. They were sinners, as all others, but Christ pleaded for them. He undertook their case. He suffered for their sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring them to God. He was their surety, and as such, he became liable. He became legally responsible. In consequence, a holy God poured out his wrath and his vengeance upon him, which wrath he exhausted completely. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, those that are with him in the air. There's no condemnation for them. But their sins have been judged, every one of them. God has not overlooked one single transgression any more than he will of the unrepentant. The pleading or the judgment was as relentless and as unmitigating as it will be for the lost. But in this case, it fell upon a substitute, Christ, the Lamb of God. He bore our sins, beloved, every one of them. Concerning these people, in the language of Joel 3 in verse 2, he says, they are my heritage. They are my heritage. See, this is the true Israel. This is the true Israel. not an apostate nation, but a spiritual people, the true Israel of God, my heritage. And by calling them my heritage, he shows that he will not on any account part with them or suffer them to be lost. Rather are they vindicated, they are justified, and they are separated unto himself forever. My sheep. And he puts them at his right hand. Beloved, does not this humble us? Oh, does it not humble us to the dust? Does it not cause us to prostrate ourselves before God, saying, but why me? Why me? Pause, my soul, adore and wonder. Ask, oh, why such love to me? Grace hath put me in the number of the Savior's family. Hallelujah. Thanks, eternal thanks to thee. Top lady speaks in similar veins. We sang it at the commencement of our gathering. Safe in the arms of sovereign love, we ever shall remain. Nor shall the rage of earth or hell make thy sure counsel vain. Not one of all the chosen race but shall to heaven attain, and here they will share abounding grace, and there with Jesus reign. Then verse 2 of our chapter ends. Whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Again I say, this had its earthly and historical meaning, and it had its fulfillment in Assyria, Babylonia, and so on. Yet do these scriptures go far, far beyond the ancient nation of Israel and her enemies. Interesting as the scriptures, as the historical side might be, which we have seen in very early studies, fascinating is the history. But if there be no spiritual meaning, I say again, beloved, then what does it mean to us? It is the spiritual which we are looking for. And it is the true Israel which we need to see in all this. The true Israel, which consists not only of the remnant of grace amongst the Jewish people, but the Gentiles also, the all flesh, of chapter 2, verse 28, which was before us some weeks ago. The all flesh of chapter 2, verse 28, upon whom the Spirit of God would come in regenerating power. The elect of all ages. And have not this company, God's chosen people, his heritage, I say, have not they throughout human history being persecuted and scattered by the adversary? Oh, not in all places all the time, but in some places all the time. Did we not see this some weeks ago? Tribulation is the lot of the church in this world, and never has she been without it, and never will she be. And just because in our part of the world, which I previously pointed out, we have had it easy, let none of us think that the people of God are not in fiery trials upon the earth, even at this very moment. I previously pointed out that these things alternate among the nations over the centuries in God's governmental dealings. let none who have experienced a period of clear shining, such as we have, indeed this country has for many generations, but let none think that this is the norm, such as we have it in Great Britain, because it is not. And the people of God could well experience days of scattering in this part of the world yet. However, for such treatment of his people, in whatever part of the world, for such treatment of his people, God will ultimately judge those nations. Rome has yet to answer for her enmity against the true church. Even from the earliest days, yes, prior to the days of Roman Catholicism, but in the days of Rome, that mighty power and all the horrors which she brought upon the post-apostolic age, the early post-apostolic age, and later developed Romanism as we know it today. I say, with all her enmity against the true church, she's yet to answer for it. Islam must one day be called to account for her ruthless attitude to the Christian faith. The Spaniards, oh, they have yet to be charged for the brutal tortures of the Inquisition, which they had every intention of bringing to this land, were it not defeated by the mighty act of God at the Armada. The atrocities which befell the poor Waldensians and Albigenses has yet to be brought to light. The terrors of the Smithfield fires, the cold-blooded horrors of Hitler's gas chambers. Yes, every finger which has ever been lifted against the people of God will come to light, and it will be judged at Jehoshaphat, that great valley, the final day of judgment. Now to verse 3. They have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Cast lots for my people. It literally means they played dice with them, treated them as being of no account, showing contempt as to be just a company of people to be gamed with, just a laugh. Give a boy to debauchery, sell a girl for a night's revelry. This is the world's estimate of the true Israel. That's their estimate. Just an object of scorn, of fun, and of mockery. Verse 4. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head. Now remember, the scene before us is the valley of Jehoshaphat. Spiritually, it is the day of final judgment. That's what's in focus. The one that sits upon the throne of eternal majesty will then say, what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon? As all nations, the dead, small and great, stand before God, he addresses them from that throne of dazzling purity, a great white throne. And he says, in other words, what have we in common? as he looks upon that vast arena, all flesh gathered before him, the reprobate of all time. What have we in common? Indeed, what are ye to me? Your sin, your rebellion, your treatment of my people. What have you got to say? What recompense are you going to give? What are you going to offer? And whatever you offer, I will immediately throw it back upon your own heads. Now, in all this, we should note, it is Jehovah who is speaking. These nations, the great, the mighty, the meek, the lowly, those of all nations, of all time, of every tongue, not one utters a word. And so at the great white throne, every man and woman will be speechless. They've no recompense to offer. God says, if so, I'll throw it back on your own heads. Verse 5. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. Let me remind you again of those words which were before us a year or two ago in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 8. And there we read concerning the northern kingdom, she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. I gave them all these things. They prepared it all for Baal. Haggai also, in chapter 2 and verse 8, the Almighty says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In another scripture, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's God's. But the natural man does not see it this way. He takes all the goodly and pleasant things and carries them into a temple of his own making, with no thought of the giver. And like Israel, he prepares it for Baal. It's all put to a profane use, not to the glory of God. In other words, he worships the creature and material things rather than the Creator. Verse 6, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their borders. This refers to slave dealing and the selling of young people of both sexes for prostitution. Elsewhere it is referred to as trafficking in the souls of men. Verse 7, behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. Yes, it will all come out at Jehoshaphat. For the Lord will judge. Every hidden thing will be brought to light. Verse 8, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah. And they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Ye have sold my sons, my daughters. I will sell your sons and your daughters. In other words, the tables are turned. The great principle of God's moral judgment is found away back in the book of Judges. And in chapter 1 and verse 7 we read, as I have done, so God hath requited me. Stated again in the New Testament in slightly different phraseology. In Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And this principle is written large upon the pages of history both of nations and of individuals, in biblical times, in secular times. I say this principle is written large, but its ultimate will be at that great valley, Jehoshaphat. Here I break off again. May these solemn truths be blessed to us all. And as we close, oh beloved, as we close, may we worship in spirit and in truth He who has delivered us from wrath to come. Amen. Let us then unite in worship as we sing hymn number 491. Arise, my soul, my joyful powers, and triumph in my God. Awake, my voice, and loud proclaim His glorious grace abroad. 491. So, O gracious God, wilt thou accept our evening tribute of worship as thus expressed in these words which we have given utterance to? We present them to thee not in any worth of ourselves, but in those all-prevailing hands those hands which prevail in thy presence of our great high priest and mediator, and our feeble breathings as they're presented to thee through him come in all the perfection of his glorious person and work. Bless this solemn message to our hearts and to all who in coming days will hear it. And now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.